Katja Singel is an adjunct professor in the journalism department at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Katja recently spent a month in Mongolia on an international reporting project fellowship.
I'm Katja Singel, reporting from Mongolia. Although famous for wide open spaces, Mongolia is now dealing with overcrowding in its capital of Ulaanbaatar. Newcomers to the city often settle in what are known as ghare areas for the ghares, or circular felt tents, that they live in. Mongolia's extremely cold winter means the coal used to warm the ghares is causing huge pollution problems in the capital, especially in the ghare areas. Odgur is one resident trying to change this.
My dream is to turn Gear area into first sustainable green community in Mongolia. So right now we're doing solar passive housing project, food forest project, growing a bunch of trees, and also a lot of door knocking projects, you know, just to bring the people together and unite, organize it.
So for those people who don't know, what exactly is a ghare area and why is it so important to bring these kind of projects to them?
Ghare area is almost 30 to 50% of the building is ghare. It's a traditional Mongolian structure. It's more for nomadic life, but in the city life, it's not a really good place to be. It's winter time, it's really cold, and you don't have sewage or running water, so everything it's not a really good place to be in the city. And the Gear District is somewhere you can see the Mongolia's problem with the urbanization. You know, the tradition colliding with the urbanization and, you know, people from the countryside with their childhood was in a Gear, and they come to the city, and the first few years they try to live in a Gear. And then they figure out it's not going to work in a city, so they build the houses, maybe even go to the apartment. It's like a, you know, transitional area, you could say, yeah.
And I guess one of the biggest problems is how people keep warm in Mongolia. Nubi's the coldest capital in the world,
yeah.
Correct?
Coldest capital in the world. We have the worst air quality in the world during the winter time, because a lot of people they live gear structurally. It's not a really good building for winter, so you need to burn a lot of coal, and a lot of people use just regular stove and coal that just come out of the ground. Improvement or anything, and then some people that they don't have money, they even burn used tires, scrap woods, and everything they can find to burn and make heat. So that's all contributes to the air quality. In the winter time, Ulaanbaatar's air quality is worst in the world.
In a, particularly in the Gare areas, because there is no central heating, they're using a lot of that coal.
Yeah, especially in the Gare area, we don't have any central heating or anything else. Only option for the Gare district people is burning coal, wood, mostly coal. Yeah, so it's almost same as how the London was a couple of hundred years ago. Yeah.
One of the many projects you're working on is different ways to heat Gers so you don't have to rely on that coal.
Yeah. We have an NGO that wants to turn Ger District into a green community. And first, we decided that first problem that we need to tackle is air pollution. Right now, we're testing affordable passive housing. Right now, we last couple of years, we have built different type of passive housing. And this year, we are going to finish passive solar house model for low-income family. And also, meantime, there's almost 30 to 40,000 gears in the gear district. So you need to do something with the gear. So we decided to just take a typical Mongolian gear and then turn it into passive solar gear. So we're going to install solar collector on the gear and then insulate it really good. So hopefully this winter we can see that Mongolian gear can be heated by sun.
So almost a modern version of a traditional Mongolian thing.
Yeah, the more modernized and more something that can be used in a city environment.
There's another tradition you've been trying to, or people are bringing back a little, and it's throat singing. Could you tell me just a little bit about what that is?
Oh, yeah. Last 5 years, I think, throat singing are coming back to Mongolian people. I mean, it was never dead. It was there, but a lot of young people are interested in it and going back to roots and connecting with the nature and ancestral spirits. So for me, throat singing is kind of like meditation or something to clean up my mind and be with myself.
How do you learn throat singing?
Just by practicing. I listened to the city music and just practiced myself.
Do you have a teacher helping you with it at all?
No. I met once with the famous Halmak throat singer. His name is Taran Tsam, which means white road that leads to Mongolia. That's what his grandma, why he gave her his name. But anyway, I met him once. We actually had dinner and had chance to ask him about how to do the throat singing. And he gave me some advice. That's the closest thing I got, teacher. Yeah, that's it.
What was his advice?
His advice was, you're doing great, just do what you do and try different muscles of your throat and try more, not from surface, just try to go deep into your throat to bring the more unique sounds.
Okay, so can you give a sample here?
Yeah, I'll try, yeah.
That's really nice. And there are no actual words or anything, right? It's just the
no words, just the sound. Yeah. When I do, I mean, when I try to throat sing, I just, imagine big mountains with the snow top, and that's it. You know.
In Mongolian tradition, it was used as a ritual or just as a entertainment, or
yeah, it's used as I think it first used as entertainment, and then it went to... But nowadays it's more used as entertainment than the ritual. Yeah, older times this is used as to connect to the ancestral spirits, ask their guidance and help through life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Katya Sengel, reporting from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. To learn more about my work, go to katyasengel.com. That's KatyaSengel.com. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.